Brothers and sisters in Christ, what if you are meeting someone you love so much soon? Then how will your face look like? Do you remember the most joyful and happy moment of your life? How did your face look like? If you were so much happy and joyful, your face must be like the face of an angel. God tells us to rejoice always. He wants us to have a happy face, like an angel's face. If someone's face is like the face of an angel, we want to come close to him. He must be warm, soft, and gentle. He must be full of love without evil. His face must be full of smiles. If our family, friend, colleagues, teachers, bosses, and everyone we meet have such a face like an angel's face, how happy would our life be? But things in the world are not always happy. When we meet difficulties, how did our face look? Stephen's face was like an angel's face, even in a critical situation. Can we have a happy face if we are surrounded by people who are stoning at us? How could Stephen have such a face in that life-threatening situation? I hope that this message can help you to have a face like an angel's face so that you can rejoice always and receive blessings and answers from God. For today's message, I refer to several sermons of the shepherd about the goodness of Stephen and the face of God, lectures on Genesis and the book Wisdom. Let me first tell you the background story of today's passage. After the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, his disciples manifested power and the message of Jesus Christ was delivered by them. And the number of believers increased. Then the number of believers rapidly increased and even many priests became Christians. Deacon Stephen was full of grace, power, wisdom, and the Spirit. He also showed great signs and wonders. One day, some Jews from the synagogue of the freedmen argued with Stephen. They were the Jews who had been captives to Rome and set free. They were able to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen was speaking. Then they decided to kill Stephen. They used people to spread false rumors and stirred up the people, the elders, and the scribes. And they brought Stephen before the council. They put forward two false witnesses to put the sin of blasphemy on him. According to him, Stephen said to destroy the holy temple and alter the Moses law. All who were sitting in the council was fixing their gaze on him, and they saw his face like the face of an angel. This is the background story of today's passage. In the council, Stephen preached that Jesus is the Savior. It was a wonderful speech. And being full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Stephen said what he saw, but the Jews became angry and drove him out of the city and stoned him. Even at the moment Stephen was dying, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And he was carried to the Lord's bosom. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we will think about 3 points through Stephen's case. Firstly, although Stephen proved God with power and the word, why did many Jews not rejoice, but rather ostracize him? Also, today, when power is manifested, people tend to exclude. We should not be distracted by such people, but have right faith. Secondly, how could the Jews drive the sinner Stephen to death? This is a typical strategy of Satan. It happens in our daily lives, so we need wisdom to deal with it. Thirdly, how could Stephen have faith like an angel's faith in such a critical situation? Let's think about it too. In summary, I'll tell you about first, the tendency of rejecting power. Second, Satan's strategy to make believers stumble. And third, how to make our face like an angel's face nevertheless. Now I'll get to the point. First, I'll tell you why many Jews ostracized Stephen who manifested power. Acts 6, 7 through 10 records the reason why they ostracized Stephen. I will summarize it. The number of people who believed Jesus as the Savior increased, and the Jewish people felt threatened. Deacon Stephen was full of power and manifested great signs and wonders. One day, some Jews from the synagogue of the freedmen argued with Stephen. When they couldn't overcome Stephen, they decided to kill Stephen. They decided to kill Stephen because they felt threatened to lose their vested rights and they couldn't overcome him. They put the blasphemy on him, but it was groundlessness. After all, they wanted to kill Stephen because of evil in their heart. It was evil heart, such as jealousy, envy, greed, the heart that they wanted to keep their territory. The secret to the rapid revival of the early churches was prayer, relief, and power and the word. Power in the word is always mentioned before the records about the early church's revival. Especially the beginning point of the gospel of Jesus Christ was power. People witnessed the power that men could not explain. Their fleshly thought was broken and their heart opened to accept the gospel and grow in faith. On the day of Pentecost, where 120 people prayed and received the Holy Spirit, 3,000 believers were added to them. A few days later, Peter healed a person who couldn't walk and delivered the gospel. The number of grown men became 5,000. The number continually increased thanks to the word and power manifested by the disciples. This ministry of power is not limited to some specific generation. People who got out of Egypt believed God and Moses by seeing the 10 plagues and the division of the Red Sea. A widow of Zarephath said that she believed that Elijah was a man of God when he raised her dead son. Jesus' disciples confessed that Jesus was the Son of God after they saw power. Through power manifested by the apostles, many Jews and Gentile people became believers. Likewise, power is manifested in the Old Testament days, New Testament days, and today. If Jesus had said to believe him as the Son of God without showing any signs and wonders, who could have confessed they believed? If the shepherd had said to just believe God without showing us any signs and wonders, how many of you would have remained here? Power is the essential instrument and weapon for the gospel. It is so biblical. It's God's utmost love to make you believe the Lord and come to heaven. Nevertheless, many Jews rejected power even after they saw it, which belongs to God. It happened in Jesus' time too. They rather persecuted him. This thing happens even today. I'll introduce some of those cases. Firstly, when power is manifested, some people say true faith is a faith without seeing it, and they claim that we don't need power. They usually quote the word in John 20, 29, saying, Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who did not see and yet believed. Brothers and sisters, we should know the difference between did not see and could not see. What Jesus said is that those who did not see him in person and yet believed him as the Savior are blessed because they are saved. 1 Peter 1:8 says, "And though you have not seen him, you love him. You love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." You and I also didn't see Jesus firsthand, but believe him as the Christ. How can this be possible? Through the power manifested by the shepherd, and through the deeds and the word of his, I certainly believe Jesus as my Savior without seeing him in person. I believe you who are here will say the same as I. All of us are witnessing, and it's true and truth that we also keep witnessing recently too. At the time of the early churches, many people believed Jesus as the Christ by power manifested by apostles and their messages. 2 Corinthians 12:12 says, "The signs of the true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles." Jesus said in John 10:38, "If I do them, although you do not believe me, believe the works." So, if anyone rejects power because we have to believe without seeing it, it's not right. Of course, if you have true faith without seeing power, you are wonderful. But even Jesus' disciples could have true faith by the help of the Holy Spirit after seeing his resurrection and ascension. They earnestly prayed to show God with power. Please understand this and do not accord with the arrogant people who say they don't need to see power. For another example, some people say power was needed only for the early churches, but now we have 66 volumes of the Bible, so we don't need power in this generation. There's not any word like that in the Bible. Or they say, Jesus completed this ministry as the Savior, then why do we need power today? And they quote 1 Corinthians 13:10 saying, "When the perfect comes, the partial will be done away." They say that all gifts were done away. But here the time when the perfect comes is the day the Lord comes again. When we go to heaven, all the gifts on this earth will not be necessary. Gifts such as divine healings, tongues, and prophecy were needed to deliver the gospel. So in heaven, we don't need them any longer. But only the gift of love, spiritual love, will we take to heaven because we love one another forever in heaven. Paul wrote the 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, to the Corinthian church members in order to emphasize that the gift of love was so important. God is the same and he's unchanging yesterday and today. Power is necessary at all generations. Today is the time where we can hardly find faith, so we need power all the more. Even worse, some say that people may be deceived by power. They drove it to be problems or heresy. They revile those who manifest power as false prophets or devil's work. The Jews from the synagogue of the freedmen who killed Stephen did so. In Jesus' time, Pharisees said Jesus was casting out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. They thought they were doing righteousness for God's kingdom, but actually their inner heart was filled with evil like self-benefit seeking and greed, as Jesus said in Matthew 12:34. That's why Jesus called them brood of vipers. He sternly rebuked them. Today also, There are people who claim that false prophets and devils can manifest power, quoting Mark 7:22. Matthew 7:22 says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?'" If you read it literally, you may think that many people were prophecies and manifested power in the Lord's name. But if you continue to read verse 23, you will find that they practiced lawlessness. The Lord doesn't answer to those who practice lawlessness with evil in their heart. They cannot manifest power that belongs to God. Therefore, what they said they performed power is a lie. Or they deluded themselves in doing righteousness. They will say they manifested power before the Lord at the great judgment. The Lord will say he never knew them. He never knows them. It's because they are lawlessness doers. So Matthew 7:23 says, "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Let me take an example from the Bible. In Acts chapter 8, there is a man called Simon. When Simon practiced amazing, people said him as someone great. They mistook him of to be a man of power. Let's refer to the picture on the screen. It's a scene of a magician, a famous magician from England. People were amazed at it. He is another magician, a famous one. His name is David Copperfield. Well, you must have heard it before. He made the statute disappear many years ago. Some of you may remember.
Yeah. 거룩한 단에서 좀 보여드리기는 좀 민망한 일이었지만.
I'm sorry to show this from this holy place, but I wanted to help you to understand about Simon the magician. It may amaze you, but it's not what man cannot do. No one will believe that it's done by God. When Philip, one of the deacons of the early churches, came to Samaria and delivered the gospel, Simon also believed and was baptized. When Simon practiced magic, people said him he was great, and they mistook him as the man of God of power. They called David Copperfield as an illusionist. Now, when Philip came to Samaria and delivered the gospel, Simon also believed and was baptized. He was amazed at the signs and great miracles following Philip. After a while, Apostle Peter and John came to Jerusalem, and Simon was amazed to see that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on their hands on laying on the people by their hands. Then Simon offered the disciples money for power, asking, let everyone whom I lay my hands receive the Holy Spirit. His purpose was to be lifted up by people and to earn money from it. Do you think the Holy Spirit will come to this person? Will he be able to manifest power? He will deceive people, saying he will give the Holy Spirit and God's grace. Because Simon performed magic and amazed people, saying himself as a great man, they mistook him to a man who's manifesting God's power, but actually he was a magician seeking his own benefit. So Simon the magician was one of the lawlessness doers who said they performed the power in the name of the Lord in Matthew 1:22 and 23. He deceived the people, set him up, and took his own benefit. This kind of people will say before the Lord at the great judgment, didn't I manifest power in the name of the Lord? What he'd done was magic. It was not power. When Simon saw power manifested by the apostles, he must have sought God's face through power, but he sought his own benefit through power. If you ask for power with a wrong purpose like this, you have nothing to do with God. You would rather fall in disasters. Also, because you looked at power itself, when you can't see it before your eyes, you will be puzzled. You don't believe because you don't see. You are not blessed because you don't believe. Think about the servant of Elisha. He has seen many wondrous power of Elisha, but he got leprosy after all. Why? He had to see God through power, but he sought his benefit through power. He looked at the offerings that General Naaman brought to give to Elisha. So Matthew 1:22 does not mean that false prophets can perform power. It's Jesus' word emphasizing that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter heaven, but he who does the will of God will enter. So it's the emphasis that we should act by the will of God, not by the words. We must not wrongly interpret the word, oh, false prophets and devil can manifest the power, or we should not accept such delusion. No matter how skillfully the liars deceive, it can never be done by man to raise the dead, make it rain, walk under water, or divide the sea. You saw the healing testimonies through magazine. They are not done by man. Well, at the time of 10 plagues, pharaohs of wise men, sorcerers, and magicians made a staff turn into serpent and changed water into blood. Isn't it power? Some people may ask like this. Wise men knew secret. You saw the scene of a performance of a magician. Do you say it's power of God? Well, wise men knew secret art. Sorcerers used the formula and spell of magic, and magicians had books of magic. They had some ability. It's a deceiving skill like magic. Like the magic show I showed to you, it was for recreation for people. Wise men, sorcerers, or magicians could never imitate the plagues of flies, frogs, boils, hail, darkness, and firstborn. False prophets can never perform things to create something from nothing, to manage life or weather, to stop the sun and the moon, and to transcend time and space in the space of the second, third, or fourth heaven. However, you may quote the word in the book of Revelation and say, devil manifested power. Let's read Revelation 13, 13 and 14. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast. If you understand it literally, it may seem that the enemy devil and Satan was performing miracles. But this record was recorded by John the Apostle. Let's see the screen. It's a weapon used for many years from the past. But 2,000 years ago, John knew what the fiery bombs from heaven were. He recorded what he had never seen before. It has nothing to do with God's power. For more details, please refer to the Revelation lectures. Then, what are mysterious things and healings performed by shamans who have nothing to do with God? Some people may be curious about it. First, they have nothing to do with God. No matter how they cure diseases or dance on a blade, it has nothing to do with God's power, which belongs to God. Goodness. So, there's no need of second thought. Second, what is the purpose of their strange works? It's not good purpose. It may seem to cure disease right away, but the result is not good. For more details, please refer to the Shepherd's Sermon about the word of evil spirit. I told you that the reason why the Jews ostracized Stephen while they saw God's power and heard God's word was their evil. And we delved into some cases of disparaging power. They say that believers should believe without seeing power. Power is not necessary today, and even false prophets and devil manifest power. We have to discern who is distorting and slandering the church with God's power, His word, and the clear fruit. I'm grateful that our mommy members feel the love of the Lord all the more by knowing the true meaning of power. Secondly, I'll tell you how the Jews could drive the sinner Stephen to be guilty of blasphemy, which made him be stoned to death. The slander they did to Stephen can also happen in our life. So we have to know Satan's strategy and deal with it well. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Jews from the synagogue of the freedmen and false witnesses stirred up elders and scribes and people. Let's look into how they put the guilt on Stephen and kill him in greater details. They first distorted the truth. They said that Stephen was saying he would destroy the holy temple. It was good to impulse people. It's because if the holy temple disappeared, it greatly affects to the living of people in Jerusalem. More than three times a year, many Jews from every place visited Jerusalem temple to worship. However, if only one temple in the world disappears, they won't come. So people who earned money from it will have economical loss, so they didn't like it. Satan stimulated the heart of seeking self-benefit and the heart to keep their possession. Also, altering the law was a threat to the vested rights of religious leaders. The law was their foundation. Along with the temple, it was the core of the Judaism. They felt threatened about their religious vested rights because the number of people who believed Jesus increased rapidly, and they were not able to cope with the speech of Stephen. So when they heard the rumor that he would destroy the temple and alter the law, they believed the rumor without checking. In fact, Stephen or Jesus have never said that they would destroy the temple. Jesus just said a similar word. In John 2:19, it says, Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Here, the temple meant the body of Jesus. He has never said that he would abolish the law. Rather, he said he would complete the law. But they were filled with evil in their hearts, so they easily followed the false rumor made by Satan. If these two rumors about the temple and the law proved to be true, he could be guilty of blasphemy. It was their chance to destroy Christians and maintain their divested rights by killing Stephen. Likewise, even though you believe God and see power, if you don't circumcise your heart and have evil in heart, you can't discern the truth, but you will be fallen into the temptation of Satan to do evil and go the way of destruction. We have to keep this in mind. To keep their vested rights, the Jews even used their law in the name of God. It was a law they strictly kept with belief. The law they used in evil way is the law about witnesses in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. According to the law, there should be two or three witnesses when someone is decided to be guilty. And perjury was seriously punished. The Ten Commandments gives a severe warning about false witness. We should not follow the testimonies of many people that distort the justice. You should not turn to the poor, nor give distorted testimony from sympathy. About death penalty, you need three witnesses, and the witness must stone at him to death first. They had to use the law for God's kingdom and his righteousness, but they used it to stand against God. Enemy devil and Satan use man's experience and knowledge like this to impulse the fleshly thoughts that stand against God. Believers' experience and knowledge have to be used for God's kingdom and glory. Apostle Paul used his experience, knowledge, and citizenship for the Lord. But those who persecuted Stephen, who didn't circumcise their heart, rather used their experience and knowledge to stand against God. They may say that they ostracized Stephen for God's kingdom at the great judgment, but the Lord will say he never knew them, as it is said in Matthew 7:23. Well, to summarize how they drove Stephen into death, first, they spread the false rumors with false witnesses to destroy Stephen. The number of people who believed the rumor increased, and they accused Stephen. When they couldn't find a flaw to accuse him, they distorted the truth and made false rumors. This is the typical strategy of Satan. Revelation 3:9 says, "Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie." Those who spread the false rumors and the Jews who accepted it were deceived by Satan because they had evil in their heart. Not only Stephen, but also Paul was persecuted by some similar synagogues of Satan. King Ahab and Jezebel also slandered Naboth to take his vineyard. They put the sin of blasphemy on him and killed him. Several churches of the early churches also had this kind of problems. They estranged and separated from one another, deceived by Satan. When Apostle Paul took the first trip for evangelism, he preached at Corinth for more than 1 year and 6 months. He established Corinthian church. He was the first pastor of Corinthian church. When he ministered in Ephesus for the third evangelism trip, Apollo, the second pastor of Corinthian church, went to Ephesus back to Paul. And he gave appeal to Paul through letters about problems of Corinthian church members. After hearing this, Paul gave various advice and rebukes. One of them was in 1 Corinthians 4:8, "You are already filled. You have already become rich. You have become kings without us." It means that while Paul was not in the church, believers acted by their own thought and opinion like a king. There were 10 kinds of problems in Corinthian church. The first one was in 1 Corinthians 1:12, the believers were separated into several parties. Some of them said, "I am of Apollos." Some others said, "I am of Paul," or "I of Peter," or "I of Christ." In this way, Satan stirs up people's thought, vested rights, and self-benefit-seeking heart to make them separated from one another and slander each other. This is the synagogue of Satan. Please refer to the lectures on the book of Corinthians. For more details. Then, the important thing is at the point we may be deceived. Only after we know this well, we can deal with Satan's scheme and defeat it. We have about this, 2 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12, clear record. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. It says, those who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness, are those who are deceived. Who took the lies by the Jews from the synagogue of the freedmen? They were the Jews who didn't believe the truth delivered by Stephen, but followed their own greed. They didn't believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. There are two types of these people. Some people don't understand the truth correctly and are spiritually weak. And they complain and stand against God, although they know the truth. Paul said that the people of the church were separated because they had a weak faith. Satan imposes fleshly thought of people who are weak, stand against and complain, and to make innocent people suffer. It's Satan's main method. Therefore, we all have to dwell in the truth and maintain the spirit-filled life. We need to know the truth, the Word of God. Many of the Jews, even though they saw God's power and heard the Word of God, they didn't look at God, but thought of the vested rights before their eyes. So they were deceived by Satan and went the way of destruction. King Ahab also accepted the false prophecy of 400 false prophets and went the way of death. The Jews who tried to kill Paul also went the same way of destruction. About Isaac, who achieved the heart of spirit, although he didn't have evil intention, because he had a favoritism towards Esau, he was easily deceived by Rachel and Jacob. You can be easily deceived to the extent that you didn't circumcise your heart. That is, to the extent that you don't have truth, the Word of God, in you. These things can happen in our daily lives. Many people distort words when they deliver them and they make false facts. Delivering words, personal benefit and selfish motives may be added to it, and it can be rare to deliver truth as it is. Also, it's almost impossible to deliver something just as it is. James 3:2 says, For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Therefore, we have to be careful about the words we are hearing and delivering. We looked into the tragedy of Satan that produced false witnesses to slander Stephen. Then how should we respond to such things? About this, our shepherd always said that we should cast off every form of evil and achieve the heart of spirit. It's just as the Bible says, if your heart is clean, you won't be deceived. After all, the transformation of a heart is the ultimate answer and the way how to protect ourselves. We have to live a life that not man but God is our witness. Thirdly, in such critical situation, how could Stephen have the face that looked like an angel? Brothers and sisters in Christ, Stephen's face was like the face of an angel in this critical situation where people argued against him and tried to kill him. In such a harsh environment, his face didn't have fear, resentment, complaint, or anger. Rather, he was full of love and mercy in his face. That's why the Bible says his face was like the face of an angel, which is the best expression about human face. You cannot fake this kind of face before death. You can't act like that. It exposes as it is. Stephen's last prayer confirmed the fact that his face was like the face of an angel. Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60 say, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, and Lord, do not hold this sin against them. He didn't have fear to those who stoned at him. He rather prayed for them. Because this appeared on his face was like the face of an angel. When someone is seeking only others' benefit to the extent that people can't understand, when someone forgives those who can never be forgiven, when someone sacrifices himself, we say he's like an angel. Stephen was full of the thought of the Lord, even at the moment of martyrdom. Stephen believed that Jesus was with him always, and he always thought of the Lord. So even at that moment, he could love and forgive even those who were stoning at him. Because he believed that Jesus was with him all the time. In Luke 23:34, Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Even at the moment of death, by being stoned, Stephen prayed like how Jesus prayed. From this point of view, we may say that his face resembled the face of Jesus, the heart of understanding and forgiving everything. The heart of an angel is the heart resembles the Lord's heart. In the Lord's Prayer, which Jesus taught us, we pray as we have forgiven our debtors. Stephen's prayer was this kind of prayer. We pray the Lord's Prayer several times a day. If we truly pray the Lord's Prayer with heart of forgiveness, with goodness and love, and if we truly practice it, our face will be like the face of an angel. Stephen was sinless, but he was killed by being slandered while serving for the Lord. Isn't it unfair? How can't the Lord be unaware of it? God is the one who counts even our hairs. He knows the deepest part of my heart. He is the Almighty One who can do anything. He watches our every action and every heart of us. There is the scene that proves this fact. It is what Stephen saw and said before he was carried at the Lord's bosom. Acts 7:55 and 56 say, But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. God was watching Stephen's every action and heart. At the last moment of Stephen, even the Lord stood up and watched him. Stephen's martyrdom became the cause of great persecution in Jerusalem. So from the viewpoint of the world, it may look like a failure, but by the persecution, believers scattered to everywhere, and it started the spreading of the gospel to the Gentiles. Also, when Stephen preached and was martyred, Saul watched it, and later he became a great apostle Paul for Gentiles. Without this incident, Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testaments, would have not existed. Likewise, God, who knows everything, pays back as we acted. God doesn't leave his children as orphans. Man, the creation, cannot understand the thought of God on high. So in any situation, all we have to do is goodness in God's sight. Then, when time comes, the Father causes all things to work together for good. Then how about the other who did evil? Also, God repays by justice as they did. He gives chances of repentance to the end, but when they cross the line set by God, their end is miserable. We see this well from Ahab's case. He, Jezebel, and his all descendants met a miserable end. While you were serving for the Lord, did you have some moments that you felt unfair and misunderstood? If you remember how the Lord did, how God pays back as people do, and how the shepherds did, your face will be like the face of an angel in difficult situations like Stephen's was. Brothers and sisters in Christ, but if you have seen an evil, your face cannot be like an angel's face. For example, how was Cain's face? From Genesis 4, 5, and 6, we can see how to see the spiritual state of a person from his face. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? When God saw Cain, his countenance fell. Adam and Eve also hid themselves from the face of God after sinning. In the sight of God, their faces couldn't be like the face of an angel. Jonah hid himself inside a boat when he didn't obey God's word. If you have sinned, your face cannot be like an angel's face, and you can't see God's face, but rather avoid him. Exodus 34, 29 and 30 say, It came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with him. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. The face can also show the relationship with God. When you are away from God's will, in other words, when you have sinned, your face will be clearly different from the face when you are close to God. Likewise, if you don't have sin and evil, your face will be like an angel's face. Stephen was not evil, but good, as much as he prayed for those who stoned at him. If you don't have sin, you can be confident that the Lord will be with you and always gives good things. You can be confident that in any situation, he will be with you and leads you to the good way. So Stephen could have such faith even in that situation. Therefore, the more we live by the words of God, And the last we have seen, it's the power to live. Goodness is strength. It's because the Lord can help us. The strength to overcome the world, the strength to overcome the hardships, and the strength from above can be given to us when we are casting off every form of evil. Then we have strength to forgive anyone like Stephen did. It's the strength from the Lord who says to us, don't cry, don't cry. I'm with you. Don't cry, but rejoice. What the Lord said not to cry to the widow who lost her only son is not just a word of comfort. It's His command. It's His command that we don't need to cry because He is truly with us. Not only by words, the Lord had mercy on the widow and raised her dead son. The Lord doesn't say to rejoice and give thanks unconditionally. He says to rejoice in the Lord because He is with us. When we do so, when we trust that He is with us, and when we are sure of the love of the Lord who embraces us warmly in any situations, our face will be like the face of an angel. Brothers and sisters, there is one who makes us confident of this. He's our shepherd. Thanks to His life, we came to know the Father and the Lord. We came to firmly trust God who meets us and answers us. That's why we confess that we love Him so. His sacrifice and devotion let us feel the love of God and the Lord that no one else in the world could give. Because we could etch the fact that the Father loves us so much in hard hearts, we can be strengthened to live and we can have a face like the face like an angel. Unless we if we do not let go of that grace, our face can be like an angel's face by that love and grace. Our mind and thought are invisible, but the mind and thought appears on our face. Our face can have more than 20,000 kinds of countenances with eyes, wrinkles, muscles, movements, eyelids, fluttering, position of pupils, and so on. People say, face cannot hide your heart or face cannot lie. Abraham Lincoln said, you have to be responsible for your faith when you are 40. When we think of someone, we remember his face first. When we think of someone about good memory or bad memory or good feelings or bad feelings, no matter what, we mostly remember his face and his countenance at the moment. If there is someone you love so much, you will always think of his face because you miss him and because you don't want to forget him. You carry his picture with you. You put it in plain sight. We love God the most. The Bible tells us to see God's face. While reading the Bible, we think of God. When we seek His face like that, He says that He will meet us. Mostly, He meets us with answers to the desire in our heart. Of course, some people whose heart is pure, like Moses, actually see God, even a part of Him. And when we think of the time when someone hurt us, his angry face and look comes up to our mind. Also, his words and actions comes to our mind after that. Especially his countenance and his words cannot be forgotten, and it seems to be etched in heart forever, like a deep root. When little children are rebuked by adults, they easily know if they are scolded by love or by ill feelings, especially they know it from their face and how they look at them. And they remember the countenance in their memory. However, what is amazing and also mysterious is that we cannot look at our own face without looking at the mirror. We see others' face, but we don't know how our face look like, how we look at others, and with what way of speaking we say to others. We can't see our own face. We can see others' back, but we can't see the log in our own eyes. We cannot see our own face. We cannot see the log in our own eyes. Luke chapter 6 verse 45 says, "For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." But face look is faster than words from the mouth. Likewise, face is an important medium of emotional communication in our lives. The word face in Korean is well-made word. It's 얼굴 in Korean. 얼 means soul. So 굴 means the passage. And 굴 means the passage. So it means the passageway of a soul. Face is important like this. So to have a face like the face of an angel is not an option. It's the will of God. God said to become light. He said to rejoice and give thanks in everything in the Lord. It's His command. Our face will show whether we obey His command or not. We cannot hide it. Faith without actions is dead faith. The facial expression is another important action to emit the fragrance of the Christ. We always have to check if we have the shiny face of an angel or if we send forth the fragrance of the Christ. The moment of death was not only the moment when Stephen's face was like the face of an angel. Stephen fulfilled the will of God to rejoice always and give thanks in everything. The number of believers rapidly increased in Jerusalem when they selected a deacon who would solve the problem of relief between a Greek widow and a Hebrew widow. The first nominee was Stephen. They were all pleased with Stephen, who was full of faith, spirit, and wisdom, and they agreed to make him a deacon. To that extent, he was sending forth the fragrance of Christ with a face like an angel's face. Then, what should we do to have a face like an angel's face, like Stephen did? Stephen could have such a face even in the council because he always lived close to the Lord and the cross. If we die to old self and live by the will of Jesus, the Son of God, and by the Holy Spirit in us, we can receive new strength to live. Then, just as Stephen did, we can have a face like an angel's face. Because we don't have ego, we don't get hurt anymore. Because we are full of the Lord's love, we can look at the people who are stoning at us with the heart of forgiveness and love. Our face will be like the face of an angel. If we certainly believe that the Lord gives us only good things and leads us to the right path, and this way is the way to New Jerusalem, then our face will be full of joy and confidence. When we meet people in church or in the world, just like people who were impressed by Stephen's face, or like people who were impressed by the Christians who praised even when they became the lion's prey, we have to make others to want to meet the Lord by looking our face. Then, won't our Father be pleased with us and praise us? For ourselves, Because our loving God is pleased. And also, to love Him and be loved by Him, we should have the face like the face of an angel. From this meaning, I realized that I've been so indifferent to my face so far. Preparing for this sermon, I repented by my face. Then, shall we have some simple test on how much our face is like the face like an angel? Okay, are you ready? Please excuse me. Imagine this. Well, think of someone, anyone, who gave you the hardest time to you in your life. Or think of someone who gave the hardest time to you recently. Did you? Do you think of anyone? Only when you can't think of anyone, your face will be like an angel's face. Or, even though you think of someone, only when you think of him lovely, your face can be like an angel's face. If Stephen hated people who stoned at him, and if he felt them as his enemy, he couldn't have been able to pray so. He couldn't have the face like an angel's face. When you look at someone around you, please check whether he looks like an angel or he looks bad to you. It's one of good ways to see if your face is like the face of an angel at ordinary times. Look at the people around you. They look like the face of an angel, right? If you fulfill the goodness and love even enemies, the goodness that can look at people who give you hard time with love, if you do so, not because you have to, but because you have goodness, your face will be like an angel's face all the time. Let's take an example from Genesis chapter 33. The little part says, "For I see your face as one sees the face of God, and you have received me favorably." This is what Jacob said to his brother Esau. This is not the word to butter up Esau. It happened right after Jacob achieved the heart of spirit by putting down his everything and praying until his hip bone was wrenched. Jacob in the past could have tried to melt his brother's heart with words of flutter, but now he's different, Jacob. He said, "I see your face as one sees the face of God." This is his confession that all the answers came from God. It was the expression of serving and humbleness from the heart. Likewise, after Jacob was completely changed, even though he said the same word, the meaning in it is totally different. The truth in the word is more important than its fluency. Before you think how to say to humor others' heart, say words with service and love from the heart. Then it will move others' heart and make things happen. After achieving the heart of spirit, Jacob didn't have fear of death. Looking at his brother, he could say he saw his face as one saw the face of God from the bottom of his heart. He could say so because God fulfilled the heart of spirit. He felt like he saw God to the person who could kill him. It's the same as he saw his face like the face of an angel. It's the state that he fulfilled his heart that loves even enemies. When you have the heart that you can see even enemies as angels, It's the state when you achieve the Holy Spirit, and your face will be like an angel's face. Stephen expressed utmost love toward people who were killing him. He looked at them with love. So his face was like the face of an angel. Likewise, if your heart is heart of spirit and like the heart of angel, you can also see others' face as angel's face. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men. You can accomplish this word. At the moment of death, Stephen's face looked like an angel's face. To such extent, he fulfilled the will of God in Christ by rejoicing always and giving thanks in everything. We also have to rejoice always and give thanks in everything according to God's will and send forth the fragrance of Christ. Then, didn't God tell us the specific way to do so? God, who is delicate, told us three things to do so, that we can rejoice and give thanks always in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18. Verse 13 says, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Second, verse 14 says, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. These three types of people are the people we can see in the church. Thirdly, verse 15 says, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. In other words, we cannot rejoice and give thanks while we don't have peace with others or we don't deal with others with goodness. Therefore, first we have to make peace with all people and be patient for them and do good to them. Only then we can rejoice, give thanks, and pray in Christ to have face like an angel full of the Holy Spirit. And we can see others' face like an angel's face. That is, our face should be looked shiny by others like the face of an angel. This is the will of God. Also, we have to remember this to fulfill this will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 says, do not quench the spirit. Verse 20 says, do not despise prophetic utterances. 21 says, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good. 22 says, abstain from every form of evil. Therefore, it's the will and command of God to pray, meditate on the word, and see, hear, and speak only good things. The Lord says to us to shine the world. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. Verse 16 says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So, let us have the angel's face to one another by having peace with all people, being patient and doing goodness and love. By doing so, let us fulfill the Lord's word that we should become salt and light in the world, and let us please God and seek His face. Well, let me summarize what I told you today. First, if we have evil in our heart, we can be deceived by Satan anytime. We know this fact through the Jews who drove Stephen to death, who manifested God's power. Even though you are attending church and witnessing power, unless you circumcise the heart, you may fall by temptations anytime. We have to resemble that, remember this. Also, we have to discern well about the deceiving assertions that disparage power. Second, Satan stirs up the evil in man's heart to spread lies. When the power is formed by those who accept those lies, Satan uses the power to make men of God fall. The typical example in churches is the synagogue of Satan. The Jews was used for this typical way of Satan to kill Stephen. To be unconnected to this kind of schemes, we have to achieve the heart irrelevant to it by circumcising our hearts. We also have to make God's word as the standard of our actions and thoughts. Third, to play a role of salt and light in the world with a face like an angel's face, we have to rejoice always and give thanks in everything to send forth the fragrance of the Christ. To do so, we have to make peace with all people in church, be patient with them, and do good to them. And we should not quench the spirit. We always have to take goodness and cast every form of evil. Our faith should resemble God. We should have the faith like an angel to become light in the world so that many souls can indwell in our broad and deep vessel. Let me conclude the message. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we look at the mirror several times a day. Well, have you ever felt that you looked like an angel? If we don't have argument against anyone, but have only good heart, good words, and good face, even if we look at the mirror many times a day, we will see our face like an angel's face always. How happy would it be? This life is a moment. How happy would it be if we always rejoice and laugh until we meet the Lord? To rejoice always in Christ is God's will and command. However, do you sometimes feel uncomfortable, worried, or unsatisfied? Even so, if you strive to have a face like an angel's face, your heart can also become like an angel. Life made by God has mirror neuron. That means that the brain cells move like the way you act, speak, and look, just as you're looking at the mirror. If you smile and laugh, hormone that makes you feel good comes out. Therefore, if you have an angel's face, the other will also have an angel's face. If we make smiling faces together, you and I and all of us will make a world like heaven by comforting and encouraging one another. Let us look at each other with a face like an angel's face and encourage one another. What if you are told that the Lord will come tomorrow at noon? Our mommy members will spend this one last day joyfully with a face like an angel's face. But there may be some people who say with fear, the judgment day has come after all. If you feel unfair about something today, yesterday, and the day before yesterday, when you hear that the Lord comes tomorrow, you'll be puzzled and thinking, how can I clean my heart in one day? I have so many things to pray, repent. What should I pray for first? Some people may beg not to come tomorrow, but to give more time. Let's say, tomorrow you have to take a test, but you didn't study. The test range is so wide and you don't know how to study. Then you are in haste and you hate that the time of test comes near. You want to live in the world without test. You hope the test to be put off. You didn't study. Then it's impossible to wait for the time of the test with an angel's face. I saw some students who just gave up the test and fell asleep because it was too hard to wait for the time. I did. It's the Well, it's the opposite look to the look of Stephen, who was at the Lord's bosom with a face like an angel's face before death. We should adorn ourselves as the Lord's bride so that we can welcome Him with a bright smile even if He comes after an hour. Whether your face looks like an angel's face or not, it depends on your choice at every moment. Therefore, our Lord said to rejoice always. It means that we should do well at ordinary times. The Lord didn't say to force to rejoice. He said to rejoice in Him because He's with us and gives us good things. He said to believe it and rejoice. As He said, we should not give our heart to various troubles given by Satan, just as anxiety, worry, fight, argument, envy, dissension, or jealousy. But we should look at the Lord alone and live a life with Him. Then how happy we would be. But the life on earth doesn't always come with such happy things. But if you send forth the fragrance of Christ with a bright face like an angel's face, you are truly Ma-min. I hope we all love each other, have peace with one another, understand all things, forgive everything, and practice what the Bible teaches us and walk the way of the shepherd. I hope we all live a bright life with a face like an angel's face. The face of Ma-min, who love one another and live by God's word, must be like the face of an angel. Stephen's face, like an angel's face, made the gospel spread to the whole world. I believe that Ma-min's face, like an angel's face, will become the seed that the plan of God and the Lord will be accomplished. Now, look at the beautiful children of God sitting in front, back, right, and left side of you. Aren't their faces here like the face of an angel? Let us all look at each other with a face like an angel's face in our Lord Jesus Christ, giving smiles, laughs, joy and happiness to one another so that we can please the Father and receive answers always. I pray this in the name of our Lord.
Hallelujah. Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.